You are listening to 5 Minute Fables. Stories are the currency of human contact. They offer us a door into another world. Everyone enjoys a good story, and everyone needs a good story. Stories make us happy, they make us cry, and most importantly, they make us think and they make us grow. This project was produced in conjunction with Impact Theatre and Wired FM. It was recorded and produced in Wired FM and Impact Theatre in Limerick during the winter of 2006. All the stories in this programme are original and were written and recorded by Limerick young people in Impact Theatre and Wired FM studios. This project was funded by the BCI Sound and Vision Fund and Wired FM.
A long time ago in Limerick, during the War of Independence, when my granny was a young child, all of Ireland was governed by England, just like Northern Ireland is governed by England today. The Irish were fighting so they could govern themselves. England sent over soldiers called the Black and Tans. They were called the Black and Tans because of the colour of their uniforms. This war happened in the year 1919 to 1921. My granny is 91 now, and was born in 1915. This story happened sometime in 1920, so my granny would have been 5 years old. It's hard to believe that my granny was 5 years old once. I always thought of her as being a granny all the time. Everybody says the Black and Tans were all bad people, but my granny says that some of them were very nice. My granny lived in Mitchell Street, off John Street, near Garryowen. The Black and Tans had barricades on John Street and other streets throughout the city. My granny, her sisters and her friends used to go to the barricades and talk to the soldiers. One soldier was very nice and liked talking to the children. Maybe he was bored, or maybe he was lonely and missed his family back in England. One day, he noticed a wart on my granny's finger. He said that he could get rid of the wart, but told her to ask for her mother's permission first. My granny ran home and asked her mother, but her mother told her to keep away from the soldiers. There was a curfew in Limerick and all over Ireland at the time. This meant that after a certain time, everyone had to be at home and nobody was allowed to be on the streets. The rebels would often come out when it was dark and shoot at the soldiers. My granny used to walk to meet her dad on his way home from work. He worked not far away as a butcher. One night, at a time when there had been a lot of shooting and fighting going on, Granny's dad was delayed at work and was coming home after the curfew. Granny walked out to meet him. I think she must have sneaked out. After all, she was only 5. Anyway, she met him and they were walking around the corner of John Street when 2 or 3 soldiers with rifles came running towards them and shouting. One of the soldiers said, "Hold your fire," and walked towards my granny and her dad. "I know this little girl. Let them go," he said. "You're a lucky man," he said to my great-grandfather. "Only for this little girl, you might have been shot." My granny says she remembers that day more clearly than things that happened today or yesterday.
It was a lovely, warm, beautiful morning. The birds were singing and the sun was shining. When I woke up to the sound of my alarm clock ringing, I looked over at it to turn it off when I realised I was already a half an hour late for school. "Oh no," I said to myself, "Miss O'Keefe will kill me if I'm late for school another morning." So I quickly rushed. I put on this horrible tracksuit. I didn't even have enough time to put on makeup. Oh my God, it is so hard being a teenager these days. Anyway, getting back to my story, I was rushing out the door when I almost forgot my art project for school. But to my luck, I remembered it. The project was for my junior cert. It was a picture of Maria Sharapova, my idol. I think she is so cool. Maria is one of the world's best tennis players. She is also really good looking. My dream is to meet her and then talk to her and even play a tennis match with her. That would be so cool. Imagine that. Well, getting back to the story, I was really running as fast as my legs would take me when I ran across the road without looking either ways. Silly me. And then I think you know what happened next. Yes, I did get knocked down. But luckily, I didn't break or hurt any bone in my body. Luckily. I stood and looked to see if my masterpiece of Maria Sharapova was okay. It was. Jeannie Mac, I'm really lucky today, aren't I? Except for the parts where I nearly died. The man in the driver's seat sat looking at me in shock. After a few seconds, he came back to reality, got out of the car and asked me, was I okay? I'm now in a really rush and a small bit moody, so I just said to him, yeah, I'm fine. Then he said to me, would you like a lift to wherever you're going? Yeah, I said, feeling a bit nervous but excited at the same time. Can you imagine how all the girls in school would be so jealous of me? I got into the car feeling awful in this horrible tracksuit, no makeup on. When I got into the car, I found to my surprise Maria Sharapova sitting inside there. She introduced herself. Hi, I'm Maria Sharapova. Can I apologise for knocking you over? Yeah, sure, I said. No problem. So I barely felt the bang. Then Maria looked at my picture of herself. Is that me? She said. Yeah, it is. Do you like it? It is for my junior cert. Oh, I love it, she said. Would you mind if I bought it off you for 8 million euro? Sure, I said. No problem. Then I thought to myself, Miss O'Mara is going to be really, really mad when she finds out I sold my junior cert project for 8 million euro. Oh, well. Maria asked me where I was going. Still a bit embarrassed, I said, school. A school? I never bothered with school, she said. So look at me now, aren't I famous? I said, yeah, and you're also blonde. She asked me would I like to go to Wimbledon with her. I said yes. Before I got to finish my sentence, I heard my mum calling me. Emma, come on, come down the stairs now. You're going to be late for school again. Oh no, I said to myself. It was a dream. Why couldn't it be true?
Phone diary. Today is the 21st of July 2006. I'm in Cork for a few days with my lovely friend Jen. We're staying at Phil's house and his family have been really accommodating. It's brilliant. Today Phil and co brought us down to a little place they called Mordor. It's kind of a weird name, but anyway, it's in this little patch of a forest near Phil's house. It's got like a tire swing and wood chippings all over the floor and stuff. And there's this really big tree which they dared me to climb. And me being the Egypt, I climbed the tree. And there was a dead branch, and I fell off the dead branch. And I didn't notice that, you know, the branch was dead until I fell. I also didn't notice that I had barbed wire in my side until everyone started staring at me and everyone's faces had gone pale and, yeah, I was just lying there. I think I went numb or something. I think that can happen if something happens to you, just go numb. Anyway, yeah, my side was impaled in barbed wire and Phil started panicking and trying to get me off the barbed wire, which I kind of warned him off because it could get extremely painful for everyone involved. Phil and Jen warned me not to tell Phil's parents about the barbed wire incident because we weren't meant to be down in Mordor anyway. I assume it's going to be okay and I won't get some weird disease or something. Anyway, talk tomorrow. Kate. Today's the 22nd of August. Hello there. My leg feels a little weird. I put soap on the little, like, pinprick where the barbed wire broke the skin. I'm wondering if I should maybe tell someone responsible about it. Jen says it'll be fine, like, and to leave it. And obviously my leg is going to be a little bit weird after falling out of a tree. I'm going to assume it'll be okay and I'm going to trust Jen for this once. It's 23rd and it's 8 a.m. It's my first morning entry into my dictaphone diary. I'm heading back down to Mordor this morning to do some sketching. It's kind of a picturesque area, despite the barbed wire. I tried to wake up Jen and I got a smack in the gob for trying to wake her up at 8 a.m. My mistake. Semi-conscious beast. Anyway, she told me to go off on my own, so I did. It's harder to find this Mordor place without Miss Ami guiding me down there. I've been here about an hour. It's kind of eerie when you're on your own. This really weird sensation of being watched. Ooh. There's not much sketching inspiration down here. I'm leaving now. Despite my common sense, I'm getting a bit scared. I really feel like I'm being followed. I keep thinking I hear footsteps. See? It's not my imagination. There's so footsteps. I can hear them. Okay, I tried to get out of Mordor and I got lost and my leg is really sore and I've got this like black vein running off the back of my leg which I just discovered and I can't walk. Okay, yeah, I just fell. My legs completely stopped working. I can't walk, and I can hear that.
These stories were read in order of broadcast by Julia Hare, Emer Maloney, and Emma Kate Langford.
5 Minute Fables was coordinated by Anne Blake and Darren Maher of Impact Theatre and produced by Miriam Walsh of Wired FM. It was recorded in Impact Theatre and Wired FM studios in Mary Immaculate College in November 2006.